Good morning, Lilith, and welcome to another day of live broadcasting here on CHLS 100.5 FM. My name is Jeff O'Kelly. This program is Snooze Button, and I'll be with you until 9 o'clock. We started this morning with some music by Bach. We heard the second movement that comes from the Brandenburg Concerto No. 2. That was a recording with the CBC Vancouver Orchestra, and the conductor was Mario Bernardi. I wish I could tell you who the soloists were. For some reason, when CBC issued this 2-CD set of all the Brandenburg Concertos, they did not see fit to identify the soloists. I think that was maybe an oversight on their part, but a real shame. We will come back and hear the final movement of that concerto in a few minutes, and I will be able to tell you who one of the soloists is. But right now, it is time for weather and road reports. Yesterday's low, 8.7 degrees. The high made it up to 27.7. Didn't realize that it had gotten that warm, but I guess it did. Let's see, as of 7 a.m., the temperature was at 16 degrees, a little bit warmer today than it was yesterday morning for sure. Environment Canada tells us today mainly cloudy, a 40% chance of showers today, risk of a thunderstorm this afternoon, wind from the south at 30 kilometers per hour near noon, a high today of 23, and the UV index at 6, which is high. Tonight, mainly cloudy, a 40% chance of showers early in the evening, a few showers over southern sections before morning. Risk of a thunderstorm early in the evening, wind from the south at 30 kilometers per hour, and a low tonight of 14 degrees. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy, 40% chance of showers in the afternoon and evening, a few showers over southern sections in the morning, risk of a thunderstorm in the afternoon and evening, wind from the south at 20, increasing to 40, with gusts to 60 near noon, and a high tomorrow of 22 degrees. Saturday, a mixture of sun and cloud, low of 14, a high of 23. Sunday, for some reason, cooler, a mixture of sun and cloud, but a low of 11 and a high of only 17. And at this point, Monday is predicted to be cloudy with a 60% chance of showers, a low of 9 and a high of 21. And taking a look at conditions across the country and around the province, right now let's go with Fredericton. The temperature is 22 degrees there, sunny. Montreal, cloudy and 17. Toronto is 20 degrees and mostly cloudy. In Iqaluit, it's partly cloudy and 3. Winnipeg, 12 degrees and partly cloudy. Regina is sunny and 14. Yellowknife, 10 degrees and mainly sunny. Edmonton, sunny and 15. Calgary, 11 degrees and mostly cloudy. Whitehorse is partly cloudy and 8. In Prince George, it's 11 degrees and mostly cloudy. Clinton, 11 degrees and light rain. Hope, light rain as well, 14 degrees there. Kamloops, 16 degrees and mostly cloudy. 11 degrees in Pemberton, and in Vancouver, it is partly cloudy and 15 degrees. And switching to the highways. Let's see, on Highway 1, I think I've just got one note. That is the rock scaling that is going on at the summit of Jackass Mountain, 17 kilometers west of Lytton, if you're not familiar with the area. That works 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily, and will be running through June the 27th. Single lane alternating traffic there, and up to 20-minute delays. And then we skip ahead to Highway 40, the construction that is ongoing between 12 and 16 kilometers west of Lillooet, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday, continuing through September 15th, and single lane alternating traffic there. And finally, on Highway 99 South, though, that's construction as well, which probably everybody's very familiar with now, but not necessarily people who are from out of the area. So I will continue to give this information. 14 to 28 kilometers south of Lillooet on Highway 99 South is where this construction is going on. 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday, continuing through September 15th. And single lane alternating traffic there as well. There are a number of other small things, but nothing involving delays, or most of it not even involving lane closures. Looks like Big Bar Ferry and Lytton Ferries are both still out of service due to high water, of course, but that's going to change before too long, I think. Let's see, that's it for weather and roads. So I guess we can go back to Bach. And we will hear now the third movement of this Brandenburg Concerto. The concerto term is a little bit confusing, because in Bach's time, concertos were usually written for just one solo instrument, although there are lots of examples of ones that were written for two instruments. In this case, Bach has written it sort of for four solo instruments. So in the third movement, we heard flute, violin, and oboe. And I say flute, I meant to be listening more carefully to see if it was a flute or recorder. I think in most recordings you'll find nowadays it's played by a recorder, but there are probably still some older recordings where it's played by a flute. I'll listen more carefully in this movement and see if we can hear. And in the first and last movements of this concerto, Bach also adds in a part for trumpet, soprano or sopranino trumpet, if I recall correctly. It's a very tiny little instrument, much smaller than a normal trumpet, has a very high range, and is a very difficult instrument to play. He left it out in the second movement because in Bach's time, generally it was felt that brass instruments were a little overwhelming in terms of the amount of volume they produced for a slow movement. So that's why just the other three instruments there. But the trumpet is back in this final movement, and the trumpeter here I do know for sure is Martin Barenboim, who was for many, many years a trumpet teacher at the University of BC. And I think I was living in Vancouver at the time these recordings were made, and seem to recall hearing about him taking part in them. So I think that's all I need to tell you. CBC Vancouver Orchestra, once again, Mario Bernardi is the conductor. Okay, once again, I forgot to pay attention to the flute or recorder, whatever it was there, until I think it was the last two chords I was listening, and it sounded more like a flute to me than a recorder, but I really can't say for sure. That was the third movement that comes from the Brandenburg Concerto No. 2, CBC Vancouver Orchestra playing there with Mario Bernardi conducting, and as I say, the trumpet soloist Martin Barenboim, but the rest of the players, I'm sorry, I wish I could identify them. They're probably names that I know from years of living in Vancouver and familiarity with various orchestras there, but I just don't want to say without knowing for sure. It's 8:14. Let me tell you what's coming up today on Radio Lillooet. When Snooze Button wraps up, I'll leave you with the Jazz Blues Soul playlist, and we'll not be switching to Studio One today. Of course, today is another in the another day in the rotating teachers' strike/lockout here for the Gold Trail School District. just on that subject, if you haven't heard already, and I'm sure anybody that has children will already, school-age children will know about this, the strike vote from the teachers yesterday to go to escalate to a full strike. It looks as if that is likely, the full strike is likely to go ahead, and probably will start affecting things here on Monday. As far as I know, classes will still be held tomorrow. Monday is going to be called a study day or something like that. So there will not be regular classes then, and then the actual strike itself will begin on Tuesday. At least that is how things look now. If I get any changes or updates to that information, I'll let you know. Moving on from that, back to the schedule. This afternoon, Democracy Now! From 3 until 4, 4 until 4:30 is Bobcat Logic. And if you have not heard Bobcat Logic before, I want to strongly encourage you to listen in. It's a very interesting and entertaining program. It's actually, when I say program, these are podcasts previously put together by a Lillooet resident, Michael Hawes, who talks on a wide variety of subjects. He has very wide-ranging interests. And so tune in, give it a try. It's just really interesting stuff. Later then is 6 o'clock is an encore presentation of Wendy's Wonderland. That is all ready to go. And that's it for the schedule. Let's see, if you want to check out the schedule, you can go to our website, radiolillooet.ca. You'll also find many shows posted there in podcast form and more information about our broadcasters. You can find a listing of various public service announcements, things going on in the community, particularly things that we cover here on Radio Lillooet. And for that, look under shows and broadcasters and look for a page called Lillooet Public Service Announcements. You'll also find a link to live streaming radio there as well. Live streaming Radio Lillooet, I should say. And let's talk a little about the Nelson Ospreys. I've been checking in on the Nest Cam the past couple of days. As I mentioned yesterday, there is a note up on the website now that says chicks to hatch any day now. There have not been any hatchings yet, but it almost seems in watching the birds as if they are expecting something themselves. They seem a little bit more unsettled than usual, and when there's one that's sitting on the nest, just one of the birds there on the nest, and the other one is off hunting, I notice that the one sitting on the nest tends to get up and move around more often and kind of fiddles around moving the eggs. And I'm not the only person to have noticed this, apparently, because yesterday I was watching the camera when someone at, well, I don't know who it is, but this camera is sponsored by Columbia Wireless and Nelson Hydro. And somebody, whoever it is that has control of the camera, zoomed in very tightly on the eggs. Maybe they thought there was some something happening there. But it was a close enough zoom you could really get a good view of the eggs, which are quite beautiful in themselves. But you could also tell that there was not yet anything happening that looked like hatching, no indication of holes having been pecked in the eggs or anything like that. Anyway, if you're interested, tune in. Let's see, they've had now 81,056 visitors to the website. And that is, last night, I think that was going up by about 1,000 an hour, I noticed at one point. When the chicks start to hatch, we can expect those numbers to really skyrocket. I think that's the only bird thing that I had for you. Except to say greetings to the BC field ornithologists who are here in Lillooet. And they're just kind of here to do some birding, which is absolutely fantastic. They were here a number of years ago, 2006 or 7, I can't remember now. Must have been 2007, just thinking back on certain details, and they held their spring meetings here in Lillooet and did lots and lots of birding, and I was out on a couple of expeditions with them at that time, and they were great people to be with, and no matter how much I may think I know about birds, being around these people was another great reminder that, Jeff, you know, you never know as much about any subject as you think you do. Okay, let's move on. This week I have been talking about and playing music of Mozart, piano music of Mozart, performed by the French-born pianist Walter Gieseking. I hesitate after saying French-born. First of all, his name sounds very German, and second of all, he's sometimes described as a German pianist. I think his home base was probably in Germany, but he was born, if I recall correctly, in Lyon. And I think one of, I can't remember if he, one of his parents was German and one was French, or if they were both German. But he was particularly known as a performer, a great performer of French piano music, especially Debussy and Ravel. But he was also very famous for his Mozart. Now, his Mozart has sometimes been criticized as being too lightweight or dainty, or when the critics really want to pull out the big guns and get nasty, they call it Dresden China Mozart, referring to those Dresden China figurines, little shepherds and shepherdesses that have, you know, bright red circles on their cheeks and a really, really bright red mouth that's impossibly small and things like that. Well, I guess one, I understand what they're saying about it, but two points I want to make. First of all, is that I think some of that may have to do with the recording. These recordings of his set of the complete solo piano music of Mozart, those recordings were made in the early 1950s. And the recording technology was pretty good already by then. It's still mono. But it sounds to me as if the recording is kind of favoring the treble pitches, the upper part of the piano, more than the bass. But perhaps even more significantly is that Mozart was not Beethoven. He did not write bass lines like Beethoven. They don't have the same weight. Very often Mozart is writing single notes as a bass line, whereas Beethoven will be writing in octaves or in chords for the bass. So it's inherently lighter just by nature than is the music of many other composers, even of the period. Okay, having said that, we're going to listen to two pieces here. First, an Andante in F major, which Mozart actually wrote for use in the mechanical organ, which was kind of like a pump organ. Anybody that remembers old pump organs, or harmoniums as they're sometimes called. A mechanical organ had a receptacle in which you would place a drum, and I don't mean a musical drum, but a cylinder that had information that it provided to the organ telling it what keys to play. So it required a human being to pump the pedals and provide the air, but otherwise it was kind of like a player piano. And that meant that since Mozart didn't have to worry about human beings trying to play this piece, he could make it as intricate as he wanted in terms of little ornaments and things like that. I don't know. I tried to track down a recording on mechanical organ just out of curiosity. Many pianists or many organists have recorded it on pipe organ, which I don't know. That just seems like, yeah, okay, if you use the right registration and keep it very suitably light, it might work. But it still seems like a kind of a heavy option to me. And I think it works extraordinarily well on the piano, and particularly with a performer like Giesecke, who is able to articulate all the intricate decorations and such that go on in this piece. It's in the form of a rondo, which means there's a main theme, and then you get, after the main theme, you get a new theme, and then the rondo, the original main theme, comes back, but in a slightly varied version, and then you get a totally new theme after that, and then the original theme comes back in yet another varied version, and so on. You get the idea. So that's the Andante in F major, and then we're going to follow that up with the very rarely heard piece by Mozart called his Capriccio in C major. Work from some years definitely earlier. And this piece is probably what you gives a good idea of what you might have heard if you heard Mozart sit down at a piano in his time and just start improvising. It consists much, much more of flourishes than it does of any kind of thematic material, but you almost get the feeling that it's Mozart warming up his fingers. Anyway, let's hear Walter Giesecke in these two fairly rarely heard pieces by Mozart. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I wouldn't try to pretend that either of those pieces are Mozart at his very best, but I think they're both very interesting pieces. We heard first the Andante in F major, also sometimes known as the Rondo in F, for mechanical organ but played on piano, and then we heard a Capriccio in C major. And the latter very definitely is what I would call second drawer, or not top drawer Mozart. But it is so fascinating to have a piece of music that gives us at least some suggestion of what Mozart's improvisations would have sounded like if he was just kind of casually sitting down at the piano and giving it a try. That was a recording with the great pianist Walter Gieseking, who recorded all of Mozart's solo piano music and a number of the piano concertos and various other Mozart pieces as well. Really, really fond of his playing. Okay, it's 8:34, time for some public service announcements. Just before we do that, I want to mention something on the Guardian website that caught my eye today. I was scrolling down to their section called the Photos of the Day. That's always interesting to look at. And there was a picture there that caught my eye indeed, and so I went to the followed the link to it. It's a picture from that was taken at the Scottish Owl Centre, which, not surprisingly, the caption tells us is in Scotland. And it's a picture with two owls in it. So in the foreground, we have a person's hand sticking in, and sitting on the person's hand is a 5-week-old little owl. Little in this case being a species designator. That's the name of the species, is little owl. And it's a very, very small owl, as you might guess. Looks like about the same size as a northern pygmy owl, or maybe when it was full grown, it would be. And it's looking at the camera with very wide open eyes and a look that, an expression that almost looks like one of alarm on its face. And then in the background, and out of focus because of the change in depth of field, there is a 7-week-old Siberian eagle owl. Which, because I don't know what it is about it, I guess it has to do with the out of focus quality of it, but this owl looks insanely happy about something. Maybe happy about having a companion, or maybe happy about what it perceives as a nice meal. I'm not sure, but it's a really, really funny picture. So if you get a chance, and if you're fond of owls, check that out on the Guardian home webpage. You can just scroll down until you find pictures of the day or photos of the day, whatever they call it. And I think that one's showing right there, and it's worth following the link to see the bigger picture, bigger version of the picture. Okay, let's do public service announcements. And actually, at the same time as I do that, I just wanted to go to the BC Wildfire Management Branch here and check out the current fire prohibitions. I think I would have heard if there were any changes to them presently, but let's see. In the Kamloops Fire Center, which is ours, campfires are still permitted. The ban on open fires, there are still extreme, very severe restrictions on those. And if you want information about that, to all the details, we give it every now and then here on on Radio Lillooet, but you can also go to the BC Wildfire website, which is bcwildfire.ca, and look to the left side of the screen where it says Fire Prohibitions, and you'll click on that. And then under the Kamloops one, you can click on each of the uses or each of the things they have here: open fires, campfires, and forest use, and get all the details. And there is a link to the BC Wildfire Management Branch on the Radio Lillooet website as well. Okay, let's do the pool schedule, which I haven't done in a while. Today, Aquafit class coming up in a few minutes. I think Aquafit will be winding down maybe next week, I believe, is the last one. I could be wrong about that, but very soon. Everyone welcome later today, 10:30 to 11:30. Lane swimming 11:30 until 1. Everyone welcome 3:30 till 5, and lane swimming 7 until 8 p.m. This is hardly necessary, but it's in our book, so I'm going to do it. Reminder to 2014 grads and families that the grad banquet has been moved to the curling rink tonight. Doors open at 5:30, dinner at 6 p.m. And a reminder of the special meeting for Squillax Band membership. That is tonight, 5 until 8 p.m. at the band office basement. Supper is provided. And on the agenda, it looks like just the one item, the Sky Blue Water Resort. If you want more information, call 256-4204, extension 354. If you're a visitor to Lillooet, a reminder about the Lillooet Farmers Market. That's on tomorrow morning, 8:30 a.m. till 1:30 p.m. That's right across from the post office on Main Street. Very easy to find. Look for where all the little booths and tables and things like that are set up. And lots of great stuff there. If you are interested in local baking, you want to get there early so you have the best selection. And, of course, bring some cash with you. Lots of great stuff at the Farmers Market. The Lillooet District Hospital Foundation and the Feed Store are presenting the 7th Annual Lillooet Garden Tour. That is this Saturday, June the 14th, and that will run starting at 10 a.m., come rain or shine. I don't know if there are tickets still available, but if there are, they are $10, and they're available from the Feed Store or from Carol at the PharmaSave or from Hospital Foundation members. And associated with the tour, there will be a plant sale, door prize, coffee and muffins, and lunch concession. And all proceeds are donated to the Lillooet District Hospital Foundation. And finally, a reminder of this Sunday. Of course, it's Father's Day, and the Lillooet Lions will be having the traditional Father's Day pancake breakfast. My little sheet about this doesn't say so, but I'm assuming that's out of the basement of the Legion. And that's 9 a.m. until noon this Sunday. $5 for adults, $3 for kids under the age of 6. And that is all I have for the public service announcements. So let's carry on, and we're going to turn to music by Granville Bantock, a piece that I play just about once a year here on Snooze Button. Extraordinarily fond of this piece, the Celtic Symphony. Granville Bantock, born in 1868, died in 1946, part of that whole generation of British composers that included Ralph Vaughan Williams and Arnold Bax and Frank Bridge and... there are a whole bunch more of them. It seems like a lot of them started with B, except for Vaughan Williams. Bantock writing very much in a late Romantic style. This piece was written in 1940, but it sounds like it could have been written 40 or more years earlier than that. And I don't say that as any, not intended as any kind of an insult. I'm absolutely nuts about this piece. This is scored for string orchestra and harps. I don't know what the minimum number of harps you could do the piece with is, probably two, but Bantock specified that he really preferred six harps for it if possible. He said that would just, the sound would come through much, much better. And it's pretty impressive when you hear six harps playing all together at the same time. This symphony is in one continuous movement, but it does have sections that sort of approximate those of a four-movement classical symphony. Starts out with a slowish introduction, and then we have what is sort of the first movement, and then the slow introduction serves as an introduction again to the next movement, which is the slow movement, and then there follows a scherzo. And then the whole thing ends. The ending is absolutely the best part. And that is where that slow introduction is kind of enlarged upon. And, oh, the playing, the writing for the strings is absolutely magnificent. And, of course, when you hear all six harps at one particular point in this, that's pretty impressive as well. I just have to express my great appreciation to Richard Loney, the longtime who for many, many years was sang the national anthem for the Vancouver Canucks. It was Richard Loney who put me onto this piece. He just said, you might want to give this a listen, and he was absolutely right. I've been very, very fond of it ever since. As I say, just kind of one continuous movement. It's about 20 minutes, and we'll listen to this recording with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. The conductor is Vernon Handley. Thank you. That was music by Sir Granville Bantock. We've been listening to his Celtic Symphony. And by the way, for anybody who's wondering, yes, it is Celtic. That is the proper pronunciation. I suppose if you're talking about the basketball team, people would probably look at you funny if you called them the Boston Celtics, so maybe it's better to call them the Celtics, but Celtic is the right pronunciation. The Royal Philharmonic Orchestra and Vernon Handley was conducting. I guess I should have warned you that you have to wait until nearly the end of that piece to hear all six harps at once, but when you get them, it's absolutely wonderful. Let's see. Oh, I've got a late public service announcement here. This is regarding an event coming up next week, June the 19th, which I think is maybe Wednesday, Thursday of next week, at the Elks Hall. H-O-O-H, which I keep thinking of as hydrogen peroxide. I'm not sure what that stands for, but I think we're going to find out in the next couple of days. Anyway, H-O-O-H, or WHO, as we will call them for now, and the Barkerville Brewing Company are presenting King Crow and the Ladies from Hell. This is part of their CD release tour. The CD called The Songs of Misery and Hope, which is kind of a neat name, actually. This will be an outdoor event, and I'm not sure what all will be involved with it, but again, I'll try and get some more information. Tickets are $15, advance sales only for tickets. Tickets available from the Cafe Doro, from IDA, Wellness Center, Country Store, and KC Health. The doors open at 6:30 p.m. The band starts at 7 p.m. And it says here, King Crow and the Ladies from Hell is an untethered dance party where folk music meets gypsy punk and loud Irish drinking songs, which sounds like kind of an unbeatable combination. So that's coming up next Thursday. And one of the organizers of that event, I believe I'll be interviewing sometime over the next few days, maybe not necessarily a live interview, but we'll get something on the air about that. All right, what are we at? In 9:05, we're going to do the encore thing anyway. I had it all lined up, and it's already written on my log sheet. So we're going to go back to Igor Alexandrovich Frolov. Don't turn your radio off. You'll be sorry if you do. That sounds like the name of somebody who would write really dark Soviet era kind of stuff. He was a composer in the Soviet era, although I'm happy to say he's still a composer no longer in the Soviet era. Frolov, born in 1937. What we're going to hear is not actually his music, but an arrangement by him. And this is an arrangement for two violins and piano. I'm not even going to tell you what this piece is because it's everybody knows it. And we have Nicholas Kirkert and Rudolf Joachim Kirkert, who is Nicholas's father. They are playing the violins. Christina Miller playing the piano. She is Nicholas's wife, so it's a whole family affair. And here they are with Something by Some Guy. Thank you. I almost let that go by.